2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get yourself 20% off each month of your daily subscription or for your monthly subscription. DFSArmy.com and the promo code PODCAST. Everything you need to get there. If you're not a member already, if you are a member, welcome into the first show, 2017. I am your host, Al Walsh, joined in with Keith Hall. If you want to give us a follow on Twitter, you can find me at 14A.Walsh. Find Keith over there at Boomers DFS Daddy. So, it's good that we got this NFL playoff picture figured out. It's always like one of my favorite things each year. You know, unfortunately, my Bucks left one game on the outside once again. But I think we got some pretty good matchups to look at here for the opening weekend of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I feel you never really try to feel sorry for anybody that's in the playoffs, you know, because, hey, the alternative is you could be sitting home. And, you know, who knows what could happen, but you got to kind of feel sorry for the Raiders here, down to the third string quarterback. You know, it kind of sucks a little bit. And the reason I don't feel sorry for the, Houston Texans is because of the fact that, well, one, Jimmy's just, talks a bunch of shit, but, two, you know, when you go out and you spend $72 million on a guy that's had like four starts in the NFL.
And you didn't even meet him prior.
Yeah. Then, I don't care if you make the playoffs or not, you kind of deserve to get whatever's coming to you. So, yeah, it's one of those age old questions, you know, which is going to win out. Does a coach always have the ability to, you know, coach anybody, or does the quarterback have to fit the system that you run in order to be successful? And I'm a general guy that thinks that you have to adjust your scheme to your talent. If you aren't able to do that, then you are not as good of a coach as everybody thinks you are. So, yeah, the NFL is, it's going to be a fun little weekend. We've got what, two games on Saturday and two games on Sunday?
That is correct.
I hope, DirecTV, if you're listening, or Fox, if you're listening, you better get your shit fixed, because if I can't watch NFL playoff games because of your stupid little contract disputes, I'm going to be highly, highly, highly upset.
Yeah, I actually, when that happened in Jersey a couple of years ago, and it happened during the World Series, but they got it done, I believe, like during the middle of it. So like missed the beginning, like I think it was like the first two games, and then they ended up getting it done. But yeah, I mean, look, the other thing too is you could certainly go online and watch it. I know it's certainly not the same, but there are ways around it. This is 2017, technology at an all-time high. We can certainly do all sorts of things. I know in my area, the big matchup, you know, we're going to see the Giants at Lambeau Field again. That's going to be a fantastic game going on there. And, you know, early on, just looking at it, Packers, 4-point favorites here. A lot of the money coming in early on them, so I don't know. This could be another Eli Manning upset at Lambeau Field. We shall see, but I certainly got my eye on that one. And then I didn't even realize it, but with the Dolphins-Steelers matchup, I forgot that the Dolphins took it to the Steelers back in Week 6 with Jay Ajayi running all over them. I don't think we're going to see anything similar to that. I mean, you got the Steelers 10.5 point favorites in this one. I think that they're going to put it on the Dolphins pretty nice, especially with Matt Moore being their quarterback. You take a look at that quarterback matchup. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Moore. I think I know what side what side I'm leaning towards. No surprise there, but that should be a good one. And then obviously the Houston Oakland game. I think it's a good time for everybody to catch up on their Netflix.
That game could end 2-0. I've heard some people say. I generally type the kind of thing because everybody's like, "Oh, Brock Osweiler's going to start." No, look, guys. Greg Savage is going to play in that game,
Tom.
and or Greg Tom, whatever.
Tom. He's a Rutgers guy. Show some respect.
Whatever. He's got the
Oh.
best last name in the NFL, so. It's kind of one of those things that he's going to play. He's not going to miss this game.
I don't know. He did
So
go. He did get diagnosed with a concussion twice. So.
no, he didn't, just once.
No, it was twice.
He cleared the first one, came back in, took the knee, and then got reevaluated at halftime. So therefore that would and then got diagnosed with the concussion. So therefore that would be once.
I thought they gave him the concussion. They went back. He said, "Let me get me another test," and then did another one, and boom.
Yeah.
Either way, two concussion protocols, not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all. So,
Might not even be up to him.
yeah, but it doesn't matter. If you still, oh my gosh, he's gonna play. He's gonna play.
Okay. All right.
I will put a I would put a lot of money on he's going to play.
All right, well, we could do the double or nothing from the Jimmy Butler bet a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
I think we
So
did actually with the Buccaneers Cowboys, but I don't know if we
yeah, we
even made that
did.
official.
We didn't
I don't
make
know
it
if we made it
official, but
official. Yeah, of course, of course. All right, we've got eight NBA games to get to tonight on this Monday slate. Now, it's pretty interesting because we did have some games yesterday. I don't think too many people paid attention with all the NFL that was going on, but Saturday, that New Year's Eve, there were some decent games going on. I was able to watch the Knicks Rockets while I was out, and just catch up on some other things on the phone. But my goodness, what a game there between the Knicks and the Rockets. Even I mean the Knicks even showed up in that one despite being short-handed. But my God, James Harden, what a damn performance.
Yeah, the only thing that could ruin the fact that Russell Westbrook has got a triple double in 29 minutes and didn't basically play most of the third or fourth quarter is the fact that Russell or James Harden went absolutely completely freaking bonkers and outdid him that night. It was a good
53. This is 53 points, 16 rebounds, 17
16.
assists,
Yeah,
eight turnovers, which kind of, he was lurking in that 100-point territory on FanDuel. Ended up finishing with 89.7. So,
Yeah, still hasn't eclipsed Russell Westbrook's FanDuel game point total. So,
what was his?
I think he had a 93. I know. Didn't didn't Beer or Brow have like a 96 or 7 earlier this year?
I think 91 he had. We'll have to go back and look, but we could check it out. We've got access to Stat News, so we'll figure it out at some point. But so eight games now, both those Knicks and the Rockets are on tonight's slate. You got two basketball games in the city of New York tonight. Both look like they're going to be stinkers, but let's begin our journey tonight in Cleveland, where the New Orleans Pelicans travel there, and the Cavs are going to be 9-point favorites in this one, -475 on the money line, which is the third highest on the slate, and we've got a total of 215 in this one. Doesn't look like the greatest of outlooks here. But we should note here, we've got obviously J.R. Smith, Chris Anderson out. They're going to be out for a long time. Kyrie Irving is questionable. He did miss Sunday's game with the hamstring. And then Mike Dunleavy also questionable. He missed Saturday's game with an ankle injury. So obviously, if we see Kyrie Irving, it's going to be the LeBron and Kevin Love show again. But I don't know. Do you have any interest anywhere else in this game?
It's weird because You've got not really. And I say that because, like, you've got Anthony Davis and he's 10-8. You've got LeBron who's 9-9, but we all know LeBron can. He affects the game in so many different ways. You don't ha he doesn't have to, put up 30. He doesn't have to put up a triple double in order to have a good game, and he can absolutely just dominate the game. But, you've got these games where he'll come out and he'll score, 19 points, five rebounds, and six assists, like he did against Brooklyn in 27 minutes, and then not play. He'd so, but then you've got games where he'll go 44, 9, and 10, like he did against Charlotte, and put up 72. So, it's a little weirder with LeBron because he has no problem deferring to Kyrie and Kevin. I think Tristan Thompson, with for everything that we love about Tristan Thompson at the first half of the game. You're really banking on him hitting value, which isn't hard at 4,700, by the way, in the first half. Because my God, he doesn't play the second half. Like his minutes in the second half, I'm gonna have to really look this up, but I think his minutes in the second half are less. He plays less than a quarter. Like legitimately, he'll play 29, 30 minutes, and most unless he gets in foul trouble, most of that's in the first half. I mean, he literally plays maybe like 6 to 8 minutes in the second half. And that's not what I want from my guys. Now, at 4,700, I can't really complain because the reason I'm paying down for him at 4,700 is because, he doesn't hit that, 35, 40 point threshold. But, I mean, if the game's close late in the game, all right, they'll just slide Kevin Love or LeBron to the five. And it really, really, really is a little bit frustrating because you're sitting there and, Tristan Thompson will pop off for like, 27 in the first half, and then he ends up the game with like 31. And so I think for this game, you're really kind of focusing on the top five in salary here. It's Drew, it's Kyrie, it's Love, it's LeBron, it's Anthony Davis. I mean, I'm not going to Buddy Hield today because or Dante Cunningham because of the fact that we've got some value in some of these later, more high-scoring games. But I don't feel like I need to go there on this one. I feel like here, it's pretty straightforward, and we shouldn't be getting cute on this one.
It's gonna be interesting to see how they handle Kyrie Irving, obviously with the hamstring. I feel like this is a game that the Cavs could, certainly just handle the Pelicans, but at the same time, the spread is kind of indicative that Kyrie will play. Just the fact that, it's so high right now, so I could certainly see all three being in, which would kind of take a little bit away. Make it more of a collective effort. We saw Jordan McRae pop off, when he got the opportunity in Charlotte there on Saturday. So, again, if any of this injury news comes out, that could certainly be an interesting way to go. We've seen backcourts do damage against the Pelicans for a while now, so that wouldn't be the most terrible way to look. But again, it's probably just going to be a top dollar sort of night here. Anthony Davis is kind of weird. Like he had a couple nice, he got off to a nice start, in a couple of these last games, but he's really just been kind of trailing off down the stretch. Any insight to why that is?
That he's not seeing the ball as much as he needs to. I mean, really, honestly, you've got to talk him. We have him listed as power forward on FanDuel, and we use FanDuel as our default positioning because then we don't have to worry about multi-position eligibility. But he really isn't a power forward. He's really, I mean, yeah, sure. Omar Sheik and Alexei Ajinka, they'll start the game, maybe play a couple minutes here and there, but neither one of them are playing that much. He's really playing a lot of the five, And they'll put in Terrence Jones to play the four. They've got Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham back both healthy. They'll play the three. There's word that, or they just signed, or they're close to signing Domonte Mata-Unis or Domotis Mata-Unis. And there's talk that he could play alongside, when he gets healthy, the four, for the Pelicans and help stretch the floor a little bit. And let's not forget that they've got Lance Stephenson that, yeah, they waived, but he's still in their facility, getting treatment and stuff. He's ahead of schedule evidently, and he should be coming back they said mid to late January, early part of February. So that's
Oh
gonna
my.
do some things there too. I mean, there's no telling what they're really doing. I think that, we haven't seen since the Miami game that 60-point upside. And I mean, in two what we thought were really, really good matchups, he just hasn't performed that well in the Clippers and the Knicks. I mean, it's not like this is a great matchup. I mean, Cleveland's pretty good defensive wise, team wise. I think for me, if I'm p picking a power forward in this game, by position, I'm going to Kevin Love.
Yeah, that would certainly seem like the more logical choice. And again, you kind of the upside on the two of these guys is pretty similar right now, to be quite honest with you, in terms of the dollar per point. So, with Anthony Davis, it just seems like money not well spent at all going that way recently.
Especially with guys like Harden, Westbrook,
Sure.
Durant. I mean, we've got everybody pretty much on the slate today. Giannis. I mean, we've got, for the first time in a while that I can remember, we've got five guys over 10K. Now, I guess if you're making multiple teams, sure, you can throw a couple out with Anthony Davis because, I mean, he's going to be, I would project, the lower owned of the five. But, I mean, if you're going in a three-entry max, I don't see any reason to go there.
Sure. All right, let's do your Oklahoma City Thunder at the Milwaukee Bucks. You versus Scotty in this one, so that should be fun.
Yep.
This one opened up as a 2-point favor for the Bucks, has dropped down to 1 point since the open. Minuscule -150 money line total here with a total of 211.5, which is actually fourth. Yeah, fourth highest of the night. We actually saw this matchup last season, and I believe it happened later in the season where OKC came rolling into Milwaukee, and we had a very good fantasy game in this one. Everybody sort of kind of popped off in that one. So now everything's a little more honed in. You got no KD with OKC. It's just Russ, and then Giannis has kind of grown more as a player. So we've got two firm triple double candidates in play here. But I think the most interesting play in the game could be Jabari Parker. We've seen plenty of power forwards do damage against OKC. So it could be a nice little caveat to have him in there. But of course, the main event is going to be Russell Westbrook and Giannis.
Yeah, it's that's the main event. That's what's going to be hyped up. The guy that's absolutely dominating the league versus the guy that's still learning how to play the main primary ball handler and is just going to go completely bonkers. I don't see any reason why you can't fit, at least on FanDuel, why you can't fit both of these guys in your tournament teams tonight. Honestly, it was the first two places I went. I went Russ, Giannis, get a nice little ping pong. There's nobody on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't even think that Andre Robertson can stop Giannis. I think they're going to try. I think that's how it's going to start. I think they're going to put kind of get both him and Jeremy Grant in the mix with trying to defend him. I don't think it's going to work that well. Now, the one thing that I will say is that it's not like Giannis is going to have an easy cakewalk in there, because if Steven Adams can stay out of foul trouble, you know, one of the things that is lacking in Giannis's game, if there is one, is his jumper. And I think if Oklahoma City can force Giannis to either have to get the ball down to Jabari, which is a very good possibility, I'm not saying it's not, or to force Giannis or some of these other guys to take their take contested jumpers, I think that's where you're going to have – where you could see some trouble here. Because Milwaukee's just not a good jump shooting team. Not without Chris Middleton. So
now, you know, you talk about all those sorts of things, but in terms of team defense, these are two very good clubs that we got here. Oklahoma City, 8th in defensive efficiency, Milwaukee in 9th. So I guess if anything would scare me away from this matchup, it would be that. Do you think there's a chance? I mean, look, the Greek is one of the best defenders, you know, in terms of DRPM in the league, but we all know his handsiness. You know, that's how he gets himself in trouble here. Do you see a situation here where he'll be matched up on Westbrook?
No. Well, I say that. I mean, I think it would be smart for Jason Kidd to put him on Westbrook at times. I don't think that Jason Kidd is that smart. You know, it's kind of one of those things like, you know, if it makes sense, why not do it? Well, this makes sense because you know, where Giannis is long and lanky, I think he's got a 7'8" wingspan. Russ is fast.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, that's all. You know, so if just because Giannis is lanky doesn't mean that Russ can't get around him. I think it's going to be very, very interesting tonight, and I would not go I would not feel comfortable really. I'm going to have to go back and watch last year's games and see how they played when Durant was off the court. That's really what I want to know. I want to know how they kind of did everything with Durant off the court. But you got to also add in the fact that they got Matthew Dellavedova this year. You know, so Delly has long pestered Durant. So
now
Westbrook.
It's interesting that you bring him up. Now Dellavedova is questionable for tonight. He sat out the last two games with a hamstring injury, and I don't think there's much of a need to rush him back given the emergence of Malcolm Brogdon. This guy's been absolutely crushing it. Even had his first career triple double there on New Year's Eve. I mean, he's certainly a guy that we can go to here. I was a little skeptical about, you know, how he would be doing with the first unit, and my oh my, has that certainly not mattered at all. On that game on New Year's Eve against the Chicago Bulls, he played 39 minutes, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, only 3 turnovers. He's been doing a very good job of limiting his turnovers in the minutes that he's played. And, you know, that 39 minutes was a big outlier, but you look at some of the other minutes he's been playing, 33, 28, 23, 29, 27. I mean, the Bucks trust this guy. So, I mean, this could be a very bad thing for Matthew Dellavedova going forward. We could see Dellavedova kind of playing that same role that he played back when, you know, he was with the Cavaliers. So I could certainly see Brogdon being a factor in this one. He's only going to cost you $4,300 on FanDuel tonight. I'm not sure what he is on DraftKings, but I really think that this could be a pretty solid play here for the point guard position. Looking around, again, we've mentioned Jabari Parker, and there's really not much that OKC is going to be able to do to stop him. We've seen Jabari do very well against, you know, bigger players in the league here. And I know that, you know, his $7,100 price tag isn't exactly the most appealing, but when given the matchup and, you know, how he's done lately, it's not It's certainly not a situation that I feel like we really have to avoid here. So yeah, with Jabari, I really like that play the most of this game. I mean, I feel like there's different things that each team could do to kind of slow down Westbrook or the Greek in this one. But again, we know that they're going to get their points off. It's just, are they going to have the upside that we need to go off on all of these points that they're going to get? In my opinion, no. I know that, that's what I see happening, but we could certainly take a look at different areas there as well. I've been pretty interested with what Steven Adams and Enes Kanter have been doing lately. Enes Kanter with that second unit, really taking people to school here. Even that mustache looking like he's going to give people a camel clutch at any minute. But if you look at this, last six games, Kanter has been right around that 30-point mark. The one game that he wasn't around the 30-point mark, he scored 23 points, so he didn't absolutely kill you. That was in a game against Memphis, down low against Milwaukee. Again, there's not many people that are going to offer much resistance to him, so he could be a very nice play at the power forward position. Steven Adams is another guy who can bang up against, whether it's Greg Monroe or, whoever Milwaukee wants to throw, John Henson down there with him. He could certainly get his rebounds, just get his points down there. Of course, Russ could take away from that, just flying in there with all his magicalness and whatnot. So I prefer Kanter between the two, especially with his usage in the second team. But don't sleep on Steven Adams. All right, so our next game, we've got the Utah Jazz at the Brooklyn Nets. Jazz, 6.5 point favorites here, -265 on the money line, and we've got a slate low total of 203.5 in this game. Not a great outlook for my Nets in this one, so I guess we gotta start in terms of the Jazz. George Hill and Dante Exum are out for this game, but Alec Burks does return to, or Alec Burks returns to the lineup for the Jazz. Should be his first work of the season. Nice, easy way to get acclimated back with the team. So yeah, George Hill just cannot seem to stay healthy. He finally makes his way back in the lineup, has a great game against the Sixers, and then on New Year's Eve, that game against the game against the Suns, he gets a concussion, and then he had to get stitches in his lip, apparently. So he has to get 22 stitches in his lip, and then apparently he could fit his finger through his lip when it happened at the time. So very disgusting. Needless to say, he's out for this one. But when he's out, we've seen guys like Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert, Rodney Hood all step up with him out of the lineup. But I guess the main guy for me tonight has to be Gordon Hayward. He's the guy that does it all when Hill's out.
Yeah, it's not hard to kind of narrow down everything right here. It's Gordon Hayward, then it's Rudy Gobert, and then it's everybody else. So
Yeah.
pretty simple and straightforward on this one, brother.
Yes, indeed. Now for the Nets, I'm really not liking too much here. I get it would seem that Brook Lopez and Sean Kilpatrick are the guys to look at, just based off what they've done with Jeremy Lin out of the lineup. Lopez, I think, could be successful if he plants his sorry ass out at the perimeter, and we try to bring the Stifle Tower out to him. I don't know how well that's going to work, but I don't know. Again, I'm trying not to take a risk on it, but I don't know. Maybe if you're playing an express slate and you need a risky play, maybe that could work. Sean Kilpatrick was doing great in those three games prior to the game on Friday in DC. He just legit pulled a Copperfield and disappeared on everyone. He started the second half with, I believe it was 10.6 FanDuel points, and ended the game with 7.6. So that is a lot harder than it sounds, people, especially as an NBA player. But it happened. It certainly happened. You want to have faith in him, but against this Jazz defense, you really can't. And then the only other two guys I can potentially recommend, Trevor Booker, who gets to go against his old team. He's averaging just under 25 FanDuel points in 22.6 minutes over the last three games. His price has dropped down to 5,000 on FanDuel. And then maybe Bojan Bogdanovic, he's still at 4,000 on FanDuel. Hasn't had that breakout performance since the Charlotte game. But, you know, while everybody else is tied up in a really bad matchup, perhaps Bojan could do his thing. I don't think it's a great night to play any Nets, but if you were thinking about some, those are some ideas to go with.
Yeah, the only interest I would have on the Nets is Bojan. We were talking on Friday, and I, you know, I'm a really, really, really big proponent of, you know, I don't have a quote unquote shit list for anybody. I don't discriminate when it comes to my DFS lineups, but if I were to start one, Sean Kilpatrick would be at the top of that list. I just can't get the guy right. I don't play him and he goes off, and I play him and he does absolutely shit. So especially in this matchup, he'll probably go off because I'm not going to play him. But, right. You know, that's just kind of one of those things. So.
Well, that's good to let the people know that you weren't. So maybe he will do something tonight.
Yeah, if you want, right, if multiple teams, you want to have a little bit of exposure to that, then you're more than welcome to, because I'm not going to. So.
All right. All right, let's take a trip over the bridge and go into Manhattan, where the Orlando Magic are at the New York Knicks. Knicks, 4-point favorites in this one, -165 on the money line. And we've got ourselves a total of 207.5, which is one of the lower ones of the night. In fact, the third lowest of the night. A lot of injury news here. Evan Fournier is questionable. He did sit out Sunday's game with a heel injury. Damian Rudez, who's also questionable, he sat out yesterday's game too with a calf. And then on the and by the way, the Magic are the only team on the back end of a back-to-back tonight, so that is something to keep in mind. And for the Knicks, the list is pretty long. Kristaps Porzingis, Carmelo Anthony, Kyle O'Quinn, and Courtney Lee are all questionable. Let's see. All of these guys, so Porzingis missed Saturday's game with the Achilles, O'Quinn missed Saturday's game with the flu, and Lee missed that last – he's missed the last three games with the sore wrist. Melo was questionable. As I mentioned, he left Saturday's game after some knee soreness, and after the game he did say that, you know, he's pretty fatigued and that he probably just needs a day off. Melo on the back end of back-to-backs is like – just giving yourself penicillin on a sunny day. There's no need for it. So basically, let's start with the Knicks, since we're just breaking down all those injuries. If all these guys are out, it would have to be Derrick Rose, correct?
You would think. I mean, yeah, you're going to see he's got obviously the biggest usage right. bump.
Let's just start over. Fuck.
You want to know? Okay, so I've went away from NBA Wowie because they've got a bunch of ads and stuff, and it really is very, very. They set the bar, but they haven't kept up with everything else. Okay. I've kind of gone to, and you've got multiple sites that have it. You got RotoGrinders, they've got the Court IQ, you got Fantasy Labs, they got the on-off tool. Any way that you go, you can find out a bunch of things. If I click on, let's see here, Carmelo off, Lee off, Zingas out, O'Quinn out.
Now this is Court IQ that you're speaking of?
This is Court IQ on RotoGrinders. I don't mean to give a shameless plug, but since we don't have the capabilities to have these tools, and we don't have these tools, then I've got to find the information somewhere. So
absolutely.
Just want you guys to know the source. Derrick Rose obviously gets the biggest usage bump. Okay, we kind of expected that. But what's funny about it is he actually takes a hit as far as fantasy points while seeing that usage bump. Okay, and that's because his field goals per minute actually go down. He doesn't block as many shots. He doesn't steal as many shots, and his points actually go down. Now his points actually probably go down as far as fantasy points because of the fact that you know, defenses can key on him. He doesn't shoot the ball as much and, you know, stuff like that. Now, granted, we don't have a large sample size where this has happened. We have a 23.2-minute sample size, okay? You want to know who gets the biggest usage bump other than Derrick Rose?
Well, I was looking at it, so... Well, no, I mean, my next guest was been Brandon Jennings, because again, I was with some friends watching this game very closely, a lot of Knicks fans too, and Brandon Jennings absolutely had himself a day, in Houston the other night. So he just could not miss a shot if he even tried. But I do see it here. So Mindaugas Kuzminskis.
Kuzminskis. And if I'm not mistaken, Mindaugas Kuzminskis is 3,500 on FanDuel, and he is a whopping. Let's go here. He's a whopping $3,000 on DraftKings.
Number 91 in your programs, number one in your hearts.
Yeah, he's the only person in New York Knicks history to actually wear the number 91.
He was a big Sergei Fedorov fan, apparently.
Must have been. Then you've got guys like Willie Hernan Gomez, and then Lance Thomas, Ron Baker, Justin Holiday. It kind of goes down from there. Let's put it this way. I don't know where I'm going to go in this game yet. But this is going to be one of those games as far as value. I don't think I'm going to go with Derrick Rose just because of the fact that Derrick Rose can't do it all. Not at his age, not at his now, and this is what sucks. Derrick Rose is $6,500.
Right.
But I don't think I need to go there because of I can go to Elfrid Payton on the other side and go against Derrick Rose and I mean, we've seen okay, 41. If he gets, if, say he gets a fantasy point per minute, okay, Derrick Rose. Say he his fantasy points, per minute, are right around that. Say 1 to 1.15. Okay. What would you say if this game stays close is the amount of minutes that he's going to play? 37, 38.
Sure.
We're talking about a ceiling of what, 45?
Sure.
Okay, if we just go,
I was gonna be a dick and say maybe like 43, but no need.
I was gonna say your ceiling, your mid-range, I'm gonna predict is right there around 45. Now, where that's good for 6,500, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm not saying that that's a bad play. I'm not saying Derrick Rose is a bad play. I'm saying as far as game theory in tournaments, I would rather go either $600 less and go to Will Elfrid Payton going against the second team. I would rather possibly take a chance on a guy like Brandon Jennings, who should see an uptick in minutes, who actually played the same amount of minutes in that Houston game and outscored Derrick Rose. And who's $2,500 cheaper? You can take a gamble on a guy like Justin Holiday, who played 30 minutes and scored 30 points. You can take a guy. Unfortunately, guys like Sasha Vujacic are just no. But Mindaugas Kuzminskis played 16 minutes and scored 19.9 fantasy points. I think Derrick Rose is going to be highly owned, and I don't think that that's necessarily the best option in this, as far as the Knicks are concerned on this game, or even at the position in this game. I think Elfrid Payton or Brandon Jennings might be where I'm going to end up going and getting less fantasy points or less ownership. For a cheaper price and getting the same ceiling.
You want to be really clever, you could ping pong the two. And look, it's a
No,
great
because
idea.
oh yeah, you could. Let's go that way. You could. But that would mean you're fading one thy god, and I don't think that that's a possibility tonight.
Okay, all right. I think you could, but we'll get there. By the way, just saw something that crossed the Al Walsh news desk. Kristaps Porzingis is doubtful to play tonight, so that clears one of our guys here. Even in that situation, I mean, look, we saw Joakim Noah the other night really pop off, especially when Carmelo Anthony left the game. Noah had, you know, it was funny too, because I shouldn't even say garbage time, but as the game was kind of nearing the final seconds, well, yeah, okay, it is garbage time. That's exactly what it is. But Noah just like popped off for like 8 fantasy points there at the end. So, you know, his total may look a little better from the night before, but he still had a very solid game. I'm not going to take anything from him overall. 4,500 price tag on Noah, and, you know, look, he's done 39.2, and he's had a 42.7 in two of these last 3 games. So I could certainly
don't sugarcoat it now. He also popped off with the 16.9 when these guys faced 2 weeks ago, and he's got a 10.2 against New Orleans as well. So
I was gonna leave that out, yeah. I like what he's been doing recently. And again, yeah, you exactly. know that game
he's been
against
playing a lot better lately.
Yeah, that game against New Orleans should be prefaced too, in the fact that it was the front end of a back-to-back, and it really seemed like, you know, Hornacek knew what he was doing, saving his legs that night so that he could play more minutes in Houston.
Yeah.
So
because he ran Gulilio Herman Gomez, or he kind of kept it a tight little 3-man rotation. So.
Yeah, Hernan Gomez isn't a bad player. I mean, look, there's some guys from the Knicks tonight that, again, if all of these guys don't play, you know, you're certainly going to see more minutes out of them. Hernan Gomez is one. I know the Knicks got some minutes out of Maurice Noir the other night. He's a guy that could play some minutes. I know Justin Holiday could be a guy that could work here. I mean, the Knicks are going to have a ton of guys. Even Brandon Jennings could even work again tonight. Now,
did they call
Ron
Baker
that,
back up from the D League?
I don't remember him playing. I remember him seeing him on the bench the other night, but I thought
why you would
want to
play Sasha Vujicic over Ron Baker is beyond me. But I guess whatever tickles your fancy.
You know, Hornacek loves those savvy vets with the headbands.
Yeah, but okay. By this point in our lives in NBA basketball in 2017, we know what Sasha Vujicic is.
And I don't.
You're
like
not
it.
Going yeah. anywhere this year. You know you're not. There's no way you're beating the Cavs or the Rockets the Raptors or the Celtics in a 7-game series. Throw Baker out there and see what you got.
Sure. Sure. Let's talk about the Magic here for a little bit, because we spent way too much time on Knicks irrelevancy. But, I love that plate and play, especially if Fournier's out. You're going to see him more usage. I mean, look, we saw – and it's a terrible analogy here, but, I mean, we saw what the Rockets just did to this defense – you know, the other night without, you know, with who was out. I mean, I know the Magic are certainly not the Rockets defense. Magic are actually the second worst team in the NBA in terms of offensive efficiency. But, I mean, you're still going to have some guys that could do some damage. I mean, this is not a good Knicks defensive team as it is. And then, you know, you take all these other guys off the court, and my God, we're basically playing a D-League game here. So, yeah, I love the Elfrid Payton play there. And then I even think a couple of these guys down low could work too, especially if you're going to have O'Quinn and Porzingis out for this game. You know, could go back to our Vucevic, go back to Biombo, Ibaka, guys like that. So a lot of these guys are in play. And again, Serge Ibaka, we're only looking for first quarter points because they don't come any other time after that.
No, not normally.
Like,
which is
29 in the first, and then you're done.
Yeah, yeah. You finish with 32. There's a lot of people like that this year. I've noticed it more this year than I have in years past, where they – you know, they'll go bonkers in the first quarter, first half, and then all of a sudden it's just like they decide to, you know, go grab a beer and popcorn and sit in the stands with, you know, Jack Nicholson. So
people got so inspired by Marcin Gortat last year.
No kidding.
Like, I could do that and still be on a team? Wow. Okay.
No kidding. Look, Elfrid Payton's only in play for me if Evan Fournier is out, just because the usage with the second team does take a hit when Fournier does play. Serge Ibaka's in play, obviously. Aaron Gordon, we got a question on Slack. With Zingas being out, is Aaron Gordon in play? And I want to say yes if the Magic goes small. But there's a possibility that they don't. Look, when Aaron Gordon goes off, it's usually against teams where he has the athletic superior edge over. And it's very, very, very different when you've got guys like Lance Thomas and Justin Holiday kind of grabbing at you rather than guys like Kristaps Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony. I'm going to have to look into the matchup just a little bit. But as of right now, I don't mind Aaron Gordon considering the fact that he's only 4,100.
Yes, indeed. Always a play, but always very volatile. All right, let's get to Houston for this one. Home of Pow Wow and the Swisher House All-Stars. But we've got the Washington Wizards. Every time I talk about Paul Wall, it just messes me up. Washington Wizards at the Houston Rockets here. 9.5-point favorites are the Rockets, and minus 505 on the money line, second highest on the slate. Tied for the slate high is a total of 229. A lot of interest in this game, and the beard is fully in play here. We just talked about his massive performance the other night. He's certainly looking to come back on this one. I think everybody's kind of giving Russ the MVP already. Harden's like, not so fast, my friend. He's been the bridesmaid here. And then, a lot of these, a lot of the last couple of years here to Steph Curry. So, I think this could be the hot streak that we see from the beard. I'm not fading him at this point. How about you?
Yeah, I am. Because if you're telling me that everybody else is going to be on James Harden when I can go to Russell Westbrook and pay up to be contrarian, or I can go to Kevin Durant, or I can go to somebody else and I can be different, you're damn right I am.
Well, first of all, I am not everyone. Okay, I think we've established
I understand
well,
that.
Well, but, into our friendship.
Okay, but when you're talking, Russ is 11-8, James Harden is 11-3. Okay, James Harden's last two games have been 66-89.
Right.
Russell Westbrook's last two games have been 55-25. Now that 25 was against Memphis. He did get thrown out. He wasn't having a good game in that game anyways, but, it was kind of a different situation because Russ didn't get to play in the fourth quarter, and he actually leads all NBA guards in production in the fourth quarter. So, that's a little bit different. But when you're talking about, you can save $500 and get bigger games, everybody's going to default. Look, Russ is not the James Harden's the shiny new toy. He is the darling, the sexy new play. He's the guy that he's the guy that went for 100 on DK. He's the guy that went for 89.7. Which I do have this now, by the way. Okay. James Harden actually has the second highest ever since 2012 regular season FanDuel game. The second. Mm. The first is earlier this season with Anthony Davis on 10/26. That would be opening night. Anthony Davis also went for 89. Russ actually has the fifth, and that was on March 4th of 2015. So he also has, Russ has, let's see, the fifth, the, seventh, and the eighth highest. And Anthony Davis has the first, third, and the sixth. So,
You know what makes Harden's so much more impressive too is on the back end of a back to back, and there's also the second time they've played the Knicks this season on the back end of a back to back, and he's crushed them in both. But that's all.
I'm just saying, thinking
Team
is
Harden for me. I know what team you're on.
I'm just saying, you want to put a little bet on this one? First bet of 2017.
Oh yeah,
FanDuel
definitely.
points.
I have a good bet, and I'll do it off air.
Okay.
I have a good one.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, is James Harden play? Yeah, obviously. I don't have anything that I can say against it. It's just a game theory thing for me. If you're telling me that everybody around the industry is like, oh, I can save $500 and I can get a guy that's still in a good matchup, and if you want to go in your cash games, if you want to go Harden over Westbrook to save that little bit of a salary, then by all means, I have no problems with that. If you want to play him in tournaments, by all means, I have no problems with that. Look, you're finding ways between Harden and Westbrook to kind of nitpick on which way you want to go. Hell, why not play both if you want to?
Oh yeah.
Because it really, we're sitting here nitpicking between Harden and Westbrook. You could really nitpick between Giannis and Harden. We've been
Yeah.
doing it all year. Every time that they're and have you noticed that Giannis and Harden usually play on the same slate together?
Yeah, all the
Yeah,
time.
exactly. And I've been fading Harden all year
NBA conspiracy,
because of
cue
the
the Twilight Zone music.
fact that Giannis and James are because, really honestly, I mean, are you telling me that if you would have went now, obviously the play on Saturday was to play both Giannis and Harden, because right
Correct.
there you're looking at 160 points just out of two guys. But I mean,
Not
are
bad.
you telling me that if you would have had to pick between one or the other, that you would have been upset picking Giannis over Harden on Saturday? If you do, you're lying. Or you just don't understand. Like, you couldn't. I mean, so we're nitpicking between Russ and Harden, and we can honestly nitpick between Giannis and Harden as well. But I think Harden, because of, the SportsCenter theory, and because of the breaking 100 on DraftKings and breaking 90, or almost breaking 90 on FanDuel and stuff like that, I honestly do think he's going to be the highest owned out of the three. So.
You know, it's funny, like you talk about all everything that you said with Harden. You could say the same exact things for Russ as well. You
Exactly.
know, sports are triple doubles and everything. I just think that, Harden's got a much easier matchup tonight than Westbrook does. I mean, the Bucks can do different things to Russ. Not saying that they're gonna work, but at least they have options. The Wizards are just like, all right, well, here's what's gonna happen, and we're gonna try to outscore them. That I can see. So that's fine. Now, yeah, with Harden here, love it. Now, I just really quick, I mean, we'll get back to the Rockets real quick, but it doesn't, I mean, what's his name? Patrick Beverley probably not going to play in this one. He's listed as questionable. He did sit out Saturday's game with the wrist injury. Clint Capella obviously going to be out for a while. And then on the Wizards side of things, Brad Beal is questionable for this one too. He sat out Friday's game with an ankle. He was very close to playing, so that might mean that he's close to coming back for this one. I would
Did he
assume he plays
travel?
here. I believe so. I believe he
Okay.
did. That I don't have on hand.
I don't know how long that the Washington Wizards home or road trip is. I'm looking that up right now, so.
Okay, so here now. If Beal is out, then now if Beal and Beverly are out, that's going to be great things for Wall. Number one, he doesn't have to go against Patrick Beverly. Number two, he can just handle this offense by himself without having to worry about Beal taking any of his stats away. So, yeah, I mean, look, besides Harden, we're going to have some phenomenal options here to go to. But yeah, definitely gonna like Wall a lot more here if Beverly and Beal are out. I talk about some of these other plays that we have here because there's a lot of good ones. I mean, it's kind of crazy because I remember Washington for a time being so bad at defending three pointers last season, and they kind of closed out not, you know, not being as bad. And then this season, they're kind of middle of the road. They're not terrible, but I mean, they're not great either. You know, the Rockets in their last game, it was the second time this season that they hit over 23 pointers. I mean, it was ridiculous stuff. I'm sure they're going to go back to that tonight.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I can't really talk you off of any of those. It's just a two-game road trip for them, so it's Dallas and Houston, and then they go back to face Minnesota. So it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if Beal did not even travel with the team. I mean, if Beal is out, then obviously John Wall is in play. Otto Porter, you know, Markieff Morris. And for those of you that don't play on the weekend, we had the same situation, what was it, on Friday. And Scott Brooks decided to throw in the likes of Andrew Nicholson and Kelly Oubre and Marcus Thornton, and you know, those guys kind of went bananas. And it was kind of weird. I mean, you had Jason Smith in there, who played he played 18 minutes, got you 24 fantasy points if you took a shot on that. Danielle House, no, he wasn't the guy I was talking about. Who was the other guy I was talking about? Was it Sheldon McClellan?
Yeah.
No, because it was... Who was the other guy that was in there? Trey Burke. Trey Burke played 30 minutes to score 34.4 fantasy points. Now, it was Brooklyn, don't get me wrong, but it's not like that Houston is any better with Patrick Beverley out. It's not like Houston's any better at guarding the backcourt than Brooklyn is. They might be a tick better, but it's not like they're, you know, it's not like, as long as Patrick Beverley's out, it's not like it's a bad matchup again. I'm willing to let everybody else chase those. And I'm willing to say, okay, look, you know, if it's John Wall, he's your play, or it's Otto Porter, or it's Markieff Morris. And if I'm going to trust the numbers and say, okay, that's a variance. It was an aberration. This is what they did. This is how it worked out. They do play, you know, they do play tomorrow in Dallas, but it's not like that's a hard back-to-back. So... I mean, I think you just got to throw it up to, you know, it was the Brooklyn Nets. It was variance. They didn't have to do a lot. They're going to have to play a little bit tighter to the vest as far as their rotation in order to try to stay into this one. I mean, honestly, is this a game where you can really see either one of them winning? It is for me. I think John Wall and James Harden is a great pairing in tournaments, a great ping pong. I think they both show up. I think they both play well. The question as far as from a basketball standpoint is which one of these secondary options is going to get hot and kind of, you know, be that other guy. You know, you had Ryan Anderson go off on Saturday and not on Friday. Thanks for that, Rhino. missed the cash by like 2 points because of you. All you needed to do was hit that three at the end of the game, you dipshit. You got Trevor Ariza, you got Sam Decker, you got, I mean, Corey Brewer stepped in, and he's the one that's been starting, oddly enough, for Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
But
the one thing Eric Gordon too.
Eric Gordon. I mean, there's another one. And I like the fact that they're starting Corey Brewer because he carries a higher ownership, but Aaron Gordon still sees those minutes off the bench. And, you know, I would rather play one of those guys. If I'm going to fade James Harden, I'm going to go get my Houston Rocket exposure through these other guys. And I've said it all year long. I'll play what I've been doing is playing Giannis and then going and getting Houston Rockets exposure through Ryan Anderson, through Trevor Ariza, through Sam Decker, through Eric Gordon, through Patrick Beverly, going to these secondary guys, because now when James Harden dishes off to, you know, Ryan Anderson in the corner and Anderson makes the three, yeah, James Harden gets the 1.5 for the assist, but guess what? I get the 3 points for scoring the basket. The only time it really hurts you is when James Harden scores 53 points.
Right.
So that's, I mean, if you're not going to play Harden, then I think you still got to have Houston Rockets exposure. I mean, they shoot a ton of threes. It's just whether or not their shot falls down. There's going to be games where Anderson goes off for 37. There's going to be games where he goes off for 9. The only way that you're going to get the 37 games is if you continue to follow your process and keep playing it. Because don't get bummed out and understand that the variance happens and you're going to hit that 9. So that's kind of the way I think of it.
I would assume, I mean, Ryan Anderson's probably the guy I would target here, just because, you know, Markieff, he's shown at times to be lazy trying to cover the perimeter. And, you know, it's funny about Ryan Anderson on Saturday night, he was just popping off from everywhere. Like, he was shooting from 30 feet out, like 35. It didn't matter. Like, when he got the ball, he just shot it. And I think that's when he's at his best. And hopefully they learn something from that. And as I mentioned, we've seen stretch fours do very well against Markieff this season. I could just recall a couple times Millsap or what the hell's his name? Jabari Parker, you know, guys like that. I am not comparing Jabari Parker to Ryan Anderson, but again, I just think that, you know, Markieff might not be as aggressive to, you know, to come out there and cover those 3-point shots. So that's where Anderson could probably excel. I would certainly rather him over, I would like him to be James Harden's sidekick tonight. How about that? All righty then. Yeah, same token. I can even see Markieff doing well against Ryan Anderson on the flip side. So that's not bad either. And then again, guy Montrezl Harrell, you know, if him and Harden are working the pick and roll very well. You know, it's funny too. Again, I hate to keep picking on the Knicks, but in that same game, there were so many times. I mean, this guy just finds way, and it wasn't even Harden who was finding him. It was a lot of the other guys on the Rockets where, you know, they find a little crack in that defense. Harrell's been very good going to the hoop on these pick and rolls. So he's another guy that we can't forget about. Although Joakim Noah is pretty damn attractive at that price where he is too. Okay. Anything else left for this game?
Not really. I'm not going to Montrezl Harrell or Nene. Look, if Montrezl Harrell is a guy that beats me, you know, with a 41 once a month, then fine, so be it. But unless Nene's out, I'm still not going there.
Fair enough. All right. In the words of Chris Farley, good, great, grand, wonderful. Charlotte Hornets at the Chicago Bulls. We got to pick them here. Hey now. Total at 205, which is one of the lower ones on the slate as well. Boy, oh boy. And we've also got Michael Carter. Yeah, I know. I didn't know where to go there. Marco Bellinelli, he's going to be out for this one. He sat out the last 4 games, got an ankle issue. And then the other news from the Bulls side of things, Michael Carter-Williams is going to get the start again. And Rajon Rondo is actually the 3rd point guard on the Bulls depth chart now. So, my, what a fall from grace. Okay, where are we looking here?
Not Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, definitely don't want to do that.
I think one of the biggest ways that you can, and I was laughing for another reason. Lane Kiffin is hilarious. Michael Carter-Williams is where I'm going. As my value point guard, 25, 27 minutes of the last 2 games, $4,100. Look, do I think he's a great point guard? No. Do I think he's better than Rajon Rondo? Yes. I'm going to pair him up probably with Jimmy Butler. I think that this is a fantastic spot for the Buttman. You know, normally I don't pick on guys like our Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, but I don't have any problem with it here. Where I'm actually really, really looking to attack is our age-old, go-to guy, and it's Marvin Williams. 28,
Mars.
25, 22, 28, 24, 30 minutes his last couple games. His shot's kind of falling a little bit from the outside. For me, if I don't have the money for Ryan Anderson, then I'm gonna default back down to Marvin Williams. It's really only a five person power forward slot for me today. And it's really, really kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I kind of like Marvin Williams tonight going up against the weakness that is the Chicago Bulls interior front line.
Now, he hasn't popped off in a while, but I like the other side of the matchup with Taj Gibson. I mean, look, we could pick on power forwards
Uh-oh.
all day against Hornets. So, yeah, Taj Gibson on that side of thing. Again, I want to see him actually. Now, the price is absolutely right on him there, 4,600 on FanDuel. But oh boy, it's a big chance to take. But I'll put anybody. Put any power forward up against the Charlotte Hornets. It usually works.
Yeah, but the
You know,
problem is
Taj.
we don't know if it's going to be Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic, or Bobby Portis.
But in the actual power forward sense, I would look. Gibson's played a good amount of minutes here, 20, 29, 28, 28 in the last three. Again, I just think that when you look at the matchups with the Hornets, I mean, yeah, Butler should have a good time tonight. I'm not terribly worried about him, but it's tough everywhere else. So I think things could default down at Taj Gibson tonight. Again, 4,600. We're not asking him to, win the night for us, but as long as he doesn't screw it up, I think he's fully capable of doing that at 4,600. Not capable of screwing it up, capable of
Oh,
just,
he's capable
doing
of
what he
doing that
needs
as
to.
well. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it, 4,600. It's more of a cash game type play for me. He's gonna play 28 to 30 minutes, and he's gonna score you around 20 to 25 fantasy points. If we get a really, 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 if he feels a little froggy tonight, he might get up to 32 to 35. But
Let him leap.
exactly. Wow, it's a great morning for some breaking news. So,
Coach K.
Coach K, yes. Lane Kiffin. So I guess another for both Coach K's. Lane Kiffin.
What was the Kiffin news?
Kiffin is out as Alabama's offensive coordinator, which I don't understand one bit.
Yeah, well, he. That's so
You're
weird.
14 and
Well, he
0, you're
already.
getting ready for the national title game, and yet you're going to fire your offensive coordinator. Or
Well,
you're
he's already got
I
the job
understand
at
that,
what
but part of his contract with UCF or wherever he's going was that he got to finish out
FAU.
FAU. He got to finish out with Alabama as long as they were in the playoff.
Wow, that's crazy.
And for I mean,
Him and Saban hate each other, though.
if yeah, okay, but if there's any downside and any like flaw you want to pick on for Alabama, and you have to really, really search. This could be it. Changing offensive coordinators before the national title game. This could
Oh,
be
yeah.
it. Because it does make a little bit of a difference. Trust me.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. There's no need to do this right now.
Yeah,
No need. That's just saving gonna be saving.
Yeah, I
All
don't like
right.
this move. If I'm an Alabama fan, I'm starting to worry.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide. All right,
Damn
what else we
elephants.
got here from this game besides our love affair of power forwards?
Nicholas Batum.
Yeah, everybody kind of forgot about him.
I think they're forgetting about him because he's up to 8,000 now. Like,
Yeah.
seriously. I mean, when was the last time we paid 8 grand for Nicholas Batum on FanDuel?
When was the last time he was consistently getting points like he is?
I
I
mean, he's
mean,
8 grand on DraftKings too. I
he's
love
worth
this
it. He's
spot
worth
to,
it.
well, and not only that, but I think it's a great spot to pay up to be contrarian as far as Nicholas Batum, because I think he's going to be low owned.
Absolutely.
He's
And
definitely not going to hit into the 20s.
you finally saw him fall off the cliff a little bit, but he was dealing, I think he was the one that got the DeAndre Liggins defense last game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I didn't see it, but I remember seeing some tweets and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, look, prior to last game, he was regularly hitting over 40 points. You know, again, you're gonna have everybody flock to Harden to the Greek tonight. I mean, look, if we're talking about, like, I could see Harden really popping off against Houston. I do think OKC can do a couple different things to neutralize the Greek, but as long as they neutralize him and keep him at 50, I mean, if we're paying down a little less for Nicholas Batum, who can, you know, definitely get to 40. I mean, if he's going to be matched up tonight against, I would assume maybe he sees some Butler. That could be a thing. But again, I still think Batum can get to 40 at least. Yeah, it could be a good use of your money for sure.
Yeah, it's. I don't look, when people pay up at the position, their automatic default is oh my God, I got to go save some money to get that average per player up. You know, and the fact that if you put Giannis and Batum or Giannis and Harden in there, then you're looking at the dwellers for the rest of your lineup. There's a lot of great ways to construct lineups today, and it's really, really, really going to be interesting as far as the ownership percentages are. I don't have any problems with playing Batum at all. You know, I think he's going to have a great game. I think he's going to be – I don't think he gets into the double digits as far as on an eight-game slate, because normally – What normally inflates his ownership percentage a little bit is the fact that he plays on the East Coast and he's one of the earlier games that tip off and he's one of the better scorers on the East Coast as far as the early games. With this game being the 8 o'clock –
East Coast, West Coast theory bias. I love him.
With this game
conspiracy
being
theories,
a with this game being – kind of in the middle where it's not on the East Coast, but it's not on the West Coast.
Central. Yes. There's a word for that.
Oh yeah. They're in the middle. They're in the middle, the middle time zone. One of those two middle time zones. I think it's really, really, really kind of one of those funny things that, I think it's going to, or I think you're going to see his ownership percentage go down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, too. Now, let me pose this question to you. Would you rather pay up – because I have a feeling, given all the other studs on the slate, you may only have room for one, but I like both matchups here. So would you rather pay up for Nick Batum or for Jabari Parker? Because you may only have room for one if we're going with everybody else that's around them.
Batum.
Okay. All right.
Because there is a chance that Jabari Parker ends up getting some Steven Adams. A little bit. Okay. And Domantas Sabonis has actually started to show some competency on the defensive end. It's still a great matchup because for what Domantas Sabonis and Steven Adams take away from Jabari Parker, Enes Kanter just throws that right back in their faces and adds to it. Enes Kanter, if you don't know basketball, just know that he's not good on defense. But I'd rather pay up for Batum just because I think that, you know, going up against Dwayne Wade, who is a great player, Hall of Fame player, don't get me wrong, but towards the tail end of his career and is not the same defensively as he once was, I just think that he holds the advantage there.
Okay, fair enough. Before we get to the next game, I have to say it was so funny. So I got Cowherd Show on in the background, and they do this thing at Herdline News. So there's a report that says that Chip Kelly wanted to draft Dak Prescott, but he was blocked by the now fired Trent Baalke. So, you know, they have that girl Christine Leahy on. You should have seen Cowherd's face, like, when she said it. It was funny. Like, he was just like, oh, are you serious? Like, that's pretty significant. That's right up there with the fact that the Browns fired scouts for even mentioning Carson Wentz to them in meetings. So, interesting.
Yeah,
Okay.
there's a lot of weird stuff coming out today. Welcome to the first
Oh,
Monday of
yeah.
2017.
Indeed, indeed. All right, two games left to get to here. We've got the Denver Nuggets at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, massive 14.5 point favorites in this one, -1750 on the money line, both slate highs. And we've got a total that's tied for the slate high today with the Washington Houston game there at 229. Massive, massive outlook here for the Golden State Warriors. Now, it was funny because we had this matchup earlier in the season, and I believe the Warriors, I gotta look this up real quick, but the Warriors were only slight favorites going into Denver, and I said to myself, trap game, definitely gonna happen. And I believe they were on the back end of a back-to-back as well. But yes, they were. They were on the back end of a back-to-back. And they were only 7-point favorites, okay? Only. Now, yeah, against a team like Denver, it just seemed like it was going to be a trap. Yeah, well, they won that game by 24, and it wasn't even close at any point during that matchup. So we've got that game to look at, but again, this just does not seem like it's going to be a close game. Warriors actually haven't covered 3 of their last 4 games, though, which is pretty interesting. I do think they finally get on the good foot here. They didn't cover their last game at home where they're 18-point favorites against the Mavericks. That was actually a very close game, which I did not see that one happening. But I think the Warriors are in a phenomenal spot here tonight. A couple injury news pieces to get to here before we begin the breakdown, though. Jameer Nelson and Darrell Arthur are both questionable for this game. Patrick McCaw is questionable. He sat out Friday's game with an illness. And then Sean Livingston's questionable with a very interesting hip and elbow contusion combo. You know, I mean, we've been seeing so much of that pop up in the NBA this year. I mean, when's it going to stop? So here's the thing. We all know point guards against Denver, phenomenal matchup. So, hey, Steph Curry, that's great. Now, if Livingston can't go, extra minutes for Curry, could this be one of your favorite plays of the entire evening?
No.
I knew that was going to be your answer. I just had to make it
I
interesting.
like Steph, don't get me wrong. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's a phenomenal option. But I think we have to readjust our view of what Steph Curry is now. Steph Curry is a very good point guard, but this is not his team. He is not the guy. He is not somebody that is going to drop 50 on us every night. He's not somebody that's going to average that. He is what he is, and he's priced accordingly. So when we roster Steph Curry, we've got to expect a ceiling of 45 to 50 with the upside that if something happens or if he gets hot, he can drop a 60. He is not one of the quote unquote elite players, fantasy players in the league anymore. That mantle has gone to Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant thinks that Scottie's a bitch.
Whoa.
sorry.
Whoa. Hot take early.
I it's
Did you
look.
see Curry's price on FanDuel today?
Yeah, it's 82. I don't care. That's why I said what I said, that we have to readjust our thinking, because we'll roster Curry at 82 and be like, oh, okay, let's if he doesn't get us 55 to 60, we're disappointed. Well, that's not who Curry is this year. That's not what we're rostering him for. If you're talking about Steph Curry, you're talking about one, two. I mean, Kyrie Irving is more than Steph Curry is now.
Dear
Kyrie,
Lord.
he's in that second tier of the. Now, wait a second here. He's in that set. He's in that tier of, I don't want to say has-beens, but,
Jerks.
yeah, pretty much. He's in that tier that you can't expect 50s out of him every night. He's not that type of player. Ever since they signed Kevin Durant, look, he's 8,600. He has that capabilities in him, but he's not that guy anymore. For me, if I were to rank the Fantastic Four, Curry would probably be the fourth one tonight. And that has nothing to do with the fact that actually he would be the third. He would be in front. I forgot that Clay doesn't handle the ball at all. Now it would be Durant, Draymond, Curry, then Clay. And that might be a little shocking to people, but I mean, Draymond Green doesn't need to score in order to have good fantasy days. I mean, the guy hasn't broken 20 points since the beginning of December. And he's still putting up 40s and 30s and 42s and 38s and 51s. You know, now he's not as consistent this year with Durant in the lineup, but I mean, okay, let me ask you this. You've got Giannis at 10-2 or Durant at 10-1. Which one are you going with? Because both of them handle the ball a lot.
Right.
The difference is that Durant has better shooters around him, and if that game gets out of hand in Oracle, which is very, very, very likely, you know, he's going to only play 33 minutes. But we've seen it before. You're paying for this guy to do what he can do in 33 to 35 minutes. And if you're getting 38 out of him, then that's when you're approaching the 60 mark.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, look, as much as I don't like Kevin Durant as a person, I can't deny that he's by far one of the top five basketball players in the world.
Oh, yeah. I know, that's why it hurts so much. But, you know, yeah, the fact that Golden State has all these different options around them. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking for that every single night, whether it's Golden State or it's Brooklyn. You know, we're looking for the guy that can take over a game with his matchup and, you know, get you the maximum amount of points. That's the goal in pretty much every guy that we pick. But it's tough to do that with Golden State on a regular basis. But boy, when you nail it, it is golden. And that's the whole thing. Like, if Livingston doesn't play, you know, Curry might get to that 38 minutes, and he might
Patrick
finally
McCall
pay off.
That's been playing on more. That you've got Andre Iguodala that's been playing more of the point.
McCaw, questionable as well. Again, he's part of the factor too. You know, this price that Curry's at, I mean, it's great with some sort
Sorry,
of upside.
Not McCaw, and Ian Clark.
And the matchup as well. So, I mean, look, these are all things that we have to look at. And believe me, I completely get it with Curry and, you know, with how low he's priced and why he's dropped that much. But, boy, it's certainly a matchup that I want a part of.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny it. The matchup is phenomenal. I mean, point guards against Denver, outside of Denver, is a phenomenal matchup. You know, it's one of those things. We had another question, and it was about this game on Slack. Say Jameer Nelson doesn't play, and I doubt that we have word of this before lock. What are your thoughts about Emmanuel Mudiay and Jamal Murray on FanDuel? Because they've had – now, Jamal Murray's kind of taken a step back a little bit. But Emmanuel Mudiay's – he's shown 40-point capabilities. He's only 5,000. You know he's going to play about 30 minutes. But it's over the last 2 weeks or so, he's shown the ability to not turn the ball over quite as much. Now, the problem I have with Emmanuel Mudiay is he's like a young Rajon Rondo right now, without the shitty attitude. He's very, very streaky when it comes to his jumper. Now, he's extremely young, and he does work in It does work a lot on it. Being from Colorado, I kind of hear a lot about that. But I mean, he's somebody that going against Curry because of the fact that, point guards against Golden State is a thing as well that we have to kind of maybe put on the radar.
The reason that I could get down with it is the price. Jesus.
I think he's going to go really low owned, except for like in the
Oh, of
express
course.
slates, because of the fact that you
Without a
can go down
doubt.
to Michael Carter Williams at 41. You've got other options in that general vicinity. You could, Austin Rivers and Raymond Felton. We're going to get to those guys here in a little bit. Malcolm Brogdon. We're going to get to him, or we already touched on him.
We did.
I mean, you've got. I think he's going to, because of the fact that he's more expensive than all of those guys, I think he's going to be very, very low owned. I think he's a very interesting tournament play.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at the games that Moutier's done well in recently here. You got, against the Sixers, okay, great matchup. Against the Hawks, great matchup. Against the Mavs, against the Knicks, both great matchups. So, and then you got the 7.5 against the Clippers. You got the 11.4 again against the Clippers. They played twice at the Clippers in a week. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's Chris Paul.
You know what's crazy? I don't even think Paul was playing in those games. Maybe he played in one, but I don't think he was in. I got to take a look at that. I know he didn't play in one of them for sure, because Paul
He
hasn't
didn't
played,
play
I
in the
think, in
second one.
five of the last six ones.
Yeah, he didn't play in the second one.
Okay.
The day after Christmas. He
All
did
right.
play in
Yeah.
the
So
first
then,
one.
Moutier only played 18 minutes in that
Yeah, but the whole
game on the
start
26th.
Yeah, all the that was the game that was we pretty much said, hey, stay away from. I mean,
Right.
we said stay or as far as everybody except for Nikola Jokic. We just said stay away from him because we didn't like it. And then but the guy that we said play in that game was Nikola Jokic. Speaking of Jokic,
He's here.
are you playing Joker tonight?
No.
Ooh.
I mean, he's gonna. I think there are far better options. I mean, this probably isn't the best paced-up matchup for him. There's the opportunity that he could see some Draymond Green tonight. I know he's
No,
got massive
there's not
height.
could. He will.
Yeah, he's got the massive height reach advantage, but still, he's got to
He
face
does.
Draymond Green, and that is not easy. So no, there will be no Jokic in my mind this evening. Trying to think where else we could go here. The problem with Denver is, they have such a deep rotation that it could legitimately come from everywhere. Man, I gotta, as of right now, I gotta pull the fade until we hear some. I mean, maybe Moutier could work, maybe, but other than that, there's way too many bodies to be dealing with here.
Yeah, it's weird because I think Danilo Gallinari is in a good spot. I like Wilson Chandler from time to time. This might be a Will Barton night, to be completely honest. He still plays close to 30 minutes when they're in it. He runs a lot with that second team. I know Gary Harris is cheaper, quote unquote, and he's more consistent. But I don't mind Gary Harris in cash and Will Barton in tournaments. I really kind of like Will Barton as a pairing to one of my more expensive shooting guards tonight. The problem is I don't really know what to do with Jokic because. Would it surprise you if Jokic went for 40 fantasy points? If he played
Not
28 to 35 minutes, would it surprise you?
terribly, but
What would we say that the chances of that happening are? If we were to put a percentage on that?
at 25%.
Okay, so one out of every four times. And his ownership
percentage.
That's me
being quick about it.
Yeah, that's being a little quick and probably maybe a little generous, but.
I will say 16.7 because that's like one out of every six.
I was going to say 20%, one out of five. And do we expect his ownership to be anywhere close to 20%? I don't.
I wouldn't think so. No.
Not going up against the likes of Draymond Green, supposedly. I actually like Jokic as a tournament play if you're making more than 3 to 5 lineups. My first initial lineup had him in there. I have the ability and the money to go up to Draymond, but I'm not sure if I'm going to. I don't know what I'm going to do with Jokic tonight because he's been playing the five and they've been playing smaller. They've been playing guys like Kenneth Faried at the four. They've been playing Hernan Gomez. They've been playing Gallinari. I mean, you're sitting there trusting Mike Malone, and you're also sitting there going, okay, well, you know, can he get into foul trouble? Look, if you're making one lineup, you don't put the Joker in tonight. But I haven't quite decided what I'm going to do with him, but I think there is a chance that he finds his way into one of my lineups.
All right, fair enough. You haven't sold me, but I'll at least.
I'm not
root
trying
for you.
To sell you on that one because I don't really know. I don't really know what I'm gonna do yet, and I don't know if it's something that I want to advocate either.
In the words of Marshall Mathers, I have no idea what I'm doing. Everyone get up, set up, Christopher. Okay, no more. All right, last one of the night. We've got the Phoenix Suns at the LA Clippers. 5.5-point favorites are the Clippers, -230 on the money line, and basically an average total tonight of 210.5. A couple injury word blurbs to get to. Obviously, Blake Griffin's out for this one. Chris Paul's doubtful for tonight. He has missed 5 of the last 6 games with a hamstring injury. And then we've got Wesley Johnson is questionable, but he only played 2 minutes on Saturday with an ankle issue, so I don't think anybody's thinking about playing him anyway. But given that news about Chris Paul – oh, and then we can't forget it's also DeAndre Jordan bobblehead doll night.
Yes,
tonight.
We've been reminded of that 3 times now, and I promised that we would make sure that we – and we don't fade bobblehead nights. DeAndre Jordan is a – He's in my starting lineup. He will be, let's see here, out of all the center, he's the number 2 center as far as price wide on the board. Rudy Gobert has a great matchup, but I like DeAndre Jordan a little bit better. DeAndre Jordan could be the top center of the day for me.
Yeah, and, you know, it's tough because we know what happens on bobblehead. DeAndre Jordan himself looks like a human bobblehead, but this is pure genius coming to life here. Now, yeah, he's going to have to go up against, you know, the likes of Tyson Chandler, which is a, you know, pretty tough defender. But let's be honest, he's getting older. He's not the complete lockdown sort of guy that he once was. Just, you know, again, just the fact that everybody – all these other guys are going to be out. You're going to see DeAndre get a lot of rebounds. You know, if you really wanted to be a jerk about it, you could even go anti-bobblehead doll and go with Tyson Chandler in this one. I don't know if that's ever been done. I don't know what the statistics are on anti-bobblehead doll nights. But I do like the down-low matchup for either guy here tonight. Sometimes, you know, you'll see some of these you'll have both guys in a great matchup down low, and it ends up turning into a great battle down there where they're the only ones grabbing the boards. They're the only, you know, blocking each other's shots and whatnot. So, I could see it working out for both sides. Of course, you're going to have to pay more for DeAndre, but I don't mind Tyson Chandler in this one. He seems to do pretty well against the LA teams over the course of his career.
Yeah, it seems like it could be a good spot. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is not the greatest as far as he's good at blocking shots and grabbing rebounds and stuff like that. I like DeAndre a little bit more if Chris Paul were to play, but I mean – I like DeAndre either way. All right, here's a question. I really, really, really like attacking power forwards against the Clippers right now. The problem is that Alex Len gets 20 minutes a game. And right now, it's a split between him and Marquese Chris. The other problem is that these guards handle so much of the ball that he doesn't, even if he plays 20 minutes a game, there's no guarantee. Unless he rebounds the shit out of the ball, which I don't expect him to do with DeAndre in the middle. And I you can't do it. I don't think you can do it. I don't know if there's a power forward you can attack the Clippers with again here tonight. I just don't see it. Eric Bledsoe is interesting, 7,600. If you want me to try to tell you who to play, Austin Rivers or Raymond Felton, I'm going to tell you neither. Don't fall into the Raymond Felton trap because he's going to be higher owned tonight. From all of those guys that didn't play over the weekend and that remember him getting a 38. And then they're going to see the fact that they got blown out by the Thunder on Saturday and that he only played 32 minutes. Look, there was other circumstances in that game as well. Austin Rivers was ejected in the Houston game. Rivers played 34 minutes on Saturday and got 16 fantasy points. J.J. Redick, I would love to play you, but I don't think that you're fully healthy. So for me, if I'm choosing a guard, if I'm choosing a guard for the Los Angeles Clippers, I'm going back to the well with Jamal Crawford.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been using Crawford here these last 2 days, and he's absolutely just ruined my night. But this is a fantastic matchup for him. You know, one of these nights he's going to get it right. And whatever the case has been the last two, I mean, he's just not shooting the ball. He's not shooting it well. You know, he has sucked these last two games. So hopefully 2017 brings him some new cheer because, yeah, I could certainly see myself going with him tonight. And then, you know, J.J. Redick also in a good spot here as well. You know, I think he could certainly pop off against this Phoenix team. I don't mind, like, you know, you talk about Raymond Felton and Austin Rivers. I don't mind them tonight either just because, you know, again, if Rivers goes to the three with Wesley Johnson going to, you know, being out in this game too, yeah, that's a pretty good matchup for any of these guys
against
as well.
TJ Warren?
So, yeah, you know, I don't mind all four of those guys that – lie in the backcourt on the FanDuel positioning. You know, Rivers, Felton, Crawford, and Redick. I like all those guys tonight.
Okay. I'll let you go there because I can't. I have no interest in them whatsoever. I really don't, honestly. It's kind of one of those things that I don't think any of them are good basketball players. and I think I would rather play Michael Carter Williams.
Okay.
I mean, you're telling me if, okay, I'm going to give you a list of, point guards under 5,000. Okay.
Okay.
Brandon Jennings, possibly with no Mello Porzingis.
What's Michael, his price?
4,000. I'm going from 4,000 to 5,000. Okay. I'm going up.
All right.
Okay. Michael Carter Williams, the starting point guard now against Charlotte. Malcolm Brogdon against Oklahoma City, 4,300. And that's only if I'm assuming that Matthew Dellavedova is out. Then you got Raymond Felton, Austin Rivers, who we've seen this story. And then you've got Emmanuel Mudiay going against Golden State. I mean, right. If I'm going up to 44 or up, I'm going to go to Emmanuel Mudiay. But I mean, I've got three that are cheaper than both of these Clipper guards and probably in better spots and going to see more usage. And I guess the wild card in that would be Brandon Jennings. But, I mean, if Courtney Lee's out, if Carmelo's out, if Porzingis is out, then, I mean, Derrick Rose isn't going to be able to do it all. That's what I'm saying. On other slates, depending on what it is, then fine. I can see that. But, you know, when you've got those three that are cheaper, I don't – and we really don't know what the Clippers are going to do on a nightly basis. Good spots or not, we don't know what they're going to do.
I think the thing that works out here too, you know, you got Phoenix that runs a phenomenal pace. They're going to play small ball probably more often than not. So, yeah, I do think the Clippers will counteract with, you know, more smaller players of their own. You know, again, too, you're going to get the Clippers at a paced up level tonight going up against Phoenix. So they're going to have to score because, you know, again, I'm not even sure if we mentioned Eric Bledsoe yet, but I mean, he's in a fantastic spot here if Chris Paul is out. I mean, this Clippers defense, which we knew was right at the top of defensive efficiency, they're ranked 11th now. And that's just based on what's been going on these last couple games. I mean, that's how bad they've been that they've dropped out of the top 10 now. So I think we're going to see a fair amount of scoring tonight. And all those guys are right on cue to do some massive damage tonight.
Oh, I agree. I mean, They are in a great spot. I can't do it.
You hate them. It's okay. It's okay.
No,
you
I
hate
ha-
them.
I
they'd be right. They'd be right after Sean Kilpatrick on your list.
I think Austin Rivers is a. No, Sean Kilpatrick. I like. I just can't get right. There's a difference. I don't like Austin Rivers. Like I don't think he's good. And you know what? I will let everybody else in the DFS industry chase Austin Rivers and play Austin Rivers. And I will not play him. And guess what? More times than not, I'm going to be on the right end of the stick.
You are. But, again, the matchup for me dictates a lot of what goes on. And
but what I'm
this
saying
is a great matchup.
I get that. But he's had good matchups. You don't think Houston was a good matchup?
It's a fantastic matchup.
Okay, what about Oklahoma City?
Not
the
a
Lakers?
Good matchup.
Dallas?
The Lakers, yes.
The last time they played, or Denver, Washington, Miami? I mean, these are all games where he played at least 20 to 25 minutes, and most of these games he played over 30. And these are all games where he's had one, two. Ever since Chris Paul got hurt, he's had two games over 25 fantasy points. I understand the price is not, you know, where you need 25 plus. But if I'm talking in tournaments where I can go get Michael Carter-Williams, Brogdon, if I can go get somebody else and get away from the ownership percentage and save a little bit of money and get the exact same production and possibly a higher ceiling, then why not?
Yeah, why not? Show enough.
I might not have sold you on the Joker, but I hope to God I sold you on not playing Austin Rivers.
Well, we'll see. We shall see. No, I mean, I think there's a couple good mid-range point guards that I don't even have to go there. I don't know if I'm going to be going with Russ tonight. I mean, we'll see. Again, it's very early in the day, but as of right now, I want to pay up and be different at a couple other spots, mainly power forward. But, yes, we'll see. We shall see what happens there. Let's talk about Phoenix real quick because we really haven't touched on them. But, again, given the fact that the Clippers have, you know, just been so piss poor on defense, I mean, we're looking here at Eric Bledsoe, you know, TJ Warren, even Devin Booker in this spot too. So we know how much different this team is without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin in the lineup. So, you know, again, the spread on this game too, it's putting Phoenix firmly right in the middle of, you know, competing in this game. So I get where out of those guys do you land?
It's the guards and then it's TJ Warren. Yeah. If I had to rank the four players, it would go Bledsoe, Booker, Knight, and then Warren. Or maybe okay. Warren and then Knight, I'm sorry. Just because of kind of how their usage is. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, TJ, He's had a couple shaky games here of late, but you know, I think he's still trying to find his footing back in the lineup. He's only played a combined, let's see, 46 minutes the last two games, but you know, he had decent games there against the Spurs, and then you know, against the Sixers and the Rockets.
Yeah,
so,
but that Utah game got out of hand real quick.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It was over by the end of the first quarter.
I'm not discrediting the man, only his defense. Ha! But yeah, I think that definitely Bledsoe or Booker would probably be the more comfortable of the plays that you'd feel there.
Without a doubt. It'd be Bledsoe and Booker for cash, even though I wouldn't recommend Booker for cash, but I could guess see it. And then Knight and Warren for GPPs is if you want to classify their safeness. I'm not saying that they're not good for GPPs. I'm just saying as far as, you know, classifying their safeness or whatever, then that's exactly what you would do. So.
Word. All right. Let's cap off the pod there. We got some articles to get out to the people, so we'll be doing that shortly. And, you know, good luck tonight. If you want to follow us on Twitter, find me, Al Walsh, at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall at Boomers DFS Daddy. And remember, if you're not a member of the DFS Army, go to dfsarmy.com, use the promo code podcast, and that'll get you 20% off each month of your monthly membership. And believe me, it's a hell of a deal. If you use the promo code podcast, you're only going to be paying $16 a month. So that is nothing in terms of what you get in return, my friends. So do it. For me and Keith, that'll be it for this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Another 8-game slate. So
peace out.